Mighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love and Thy mercy and Thy great goodness. We thank Thee, Father, for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our hope of glory. Father, we come to You this morning crying to You as children. Abba, Father, have mercy on us, please. Father, please bless us here in the preaching of the cross of Christ. Please bless the works of our hands. Bless our radio ministry and our internet ministry. We're so thankful for all the blessings that You've given us, and we praise Your holy name, Father, for the doors that are opening to us. We thank You for this new spirit that's here. Father, we thank You so very much for this opportunity to go forward and preach the gospel, to tell all that we meet of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You've heard of our sick and shut-ins. We've named them all this morning, Father, and we pray that You'll be with them, that You'll help them, strengthen them, encourage them, Father. We know that You love them more than we ever could. We pray that You'll heal them and raise them up and restore them to good health soon, return them to it. Father, we pray for our works today as we go forward to feed the poor. Bless those that prepares the meal and serves the meals, and bless those that give and those that take, Father. Have mercy on us. We thank You so very much for all of Your love. In Christ's name, amen. Well, everybody's asked me this morning about these scabs on my forehead. The real truth of the matter is Ginger told me to shut up, and I thought she said stand up. The real truth of the matter is I passed out Friday and fell and hit my head on the bathroom floor. I guess maybe my blood pressure is low. I want to apologize to you because I don't feel good this morning. I want to apologize to our radio audience. We ask for your prayers, and we definitely need your prayers. If you'd be opening your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We're going to get right with it, and that'll make me feel better right there. Matthew, the 13th chapter. We studied last week the parable of the tares hid in the field, and then we studied this parable of treasure hid in the field. Now, go over this again and remind you of this parable that we studied last week, Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field, of which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And I submit to you that people who normally hear this parable and they take it in a traditional way are totally failing to practice good hermeneutics and understand this parable. The kingdom of heaven is the church. The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the fields. Exodus 19, God says that if you'll obey my voice, you will be a particular treasure unto me. God's people are his treasure. The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field. What's the field? Jesus tells us, verse 37, the field's the world. So it's like the church of Christ hid in the world, of which when a man, who's the man, the searcher, Jesus, the searching love of God, comes and finds, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, of which when a man findeth, for the joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And so, what were we redeemed with? You were not redeemed with perishable things, such as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. And of course, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, that it was a joy for Christ to look beyond the cross and to die for us. Then verse 45 is another parable much like that. Again, the kingdom of heaven, the church, is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, whom when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I'm so thankful that Jesus saw something in me that I couldn't see. And that's the way of the Lord. He can look beyond what you are right now and see all that you can become and all that you can possibly be. I've had a real experiences this week. I've done two funerals this week. And I have known a lot of people who die. I have a ministry, the parish. We teach and baptize a lot of people here, and about half of them die right away. It's an amazing thing. It's like God sends the word to them for the last time, that they get a shot at God before they graduate. And I bury a lot of people consequently. I've never known more faithful children than those children whose parents died this week, Martha Woods and Linda Reed. They were faithful in taking care of their parents and loving their parents and serving their parents in their old age. And I want to take my hat off to you. You went the extra, extra mile, both Martha and Linda. And you have my respect, and I wish that I could have done more to serve you. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. A dragnet. You take a dragnet and you put floats on one side of it. You put weights on the other. You gather the ends together. You put it out in the ocean and you drag it in. And you pull all manner of fish in. And God says that it's just like this. The kingdom of God, the church of Christ, is just like this. Go drag them all in here. Go drag them all in. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind, all kinds of people, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So it shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. They finally got it. They finally understood. I want to thank my brother Jerry Atkins for reminding me of something that I didn't bring the point out 2 weeks ago when I first started teaching on this parable of the sower, that there are four types of heart. There is a hard-hearted disciple, there's a shallow-hearted disciple, there's a crowded-hearted disciple, and there's a good-hearted disciple. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a hard-hearted disciple, that don't mean that you got to stay that way. If you're a crowded-hearted disciple, it doesn't mean that you've got to stay that way, that you've got to stay sinful. If you're a shallow-hearted disciple, it doesn't mean that you have to continue to be shallow. You can change your own self. God wants you to change. He wants you to graduate. He wants you to take a step up. We're going to take a few minutes this morning and give you a report to the church, and I'd like to give you a report on our ministry here. I'm not worthy to be the minister of the Main Street Church of Christ. This honor fell upon me 9 years ago, and I have never thought that I'm worthy to have this position. We've come a long way. We've come from being under lawsuit where the flim-flam men were trying to steal this property over a stinking lousy computer and a copy machine. We were under lawsuit for $120,000 plus legal fees. We were in a great bind. We had no money and nothing. So now we have gone from that. We were a church of 40 at that time. There was 40 of us left. Now I've buried all but 7 of the 40. And all of them, I've loved them and protected them and looked out for them and watched their back and fed them and visited them in the hospital, in the nursing homes, and buried them and cried over them all when they passed because I loved them. They was my mom and daddy's generation, and I'll always love them. I have dedicated my ministry to two things, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and I've written them here. Preaching of the gospel of Christ, I figured out 9 years ago that even a worthless human being like me, if you do those two things, God will not be mad at you anymore over that. I can tell you that right now. If you'll do those things, if you'll preach the gospel, if you'll teach the Bible and nothing but the Bible, and if you look out for the poor, God won't be mad at you over that, and He'll support you. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. This chapter is very special to Larry and I. Larry, stand up. I've nominated this man to be set apart as an evangelist, 12-step counselor, and associate song leader next Sunday. If anybody has any reason that you think that he is not proper to hold one of those positions, you're to go to him this week and tell him. And if you can't work it out, you're to come and see me. Be seated, Larry. Thank you. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. We'd encourage you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads and a cappella singing and Fair to Midland gospel preaching. Isaiah chapter 58. This is a very great chapter to both Larry and I. Cry aloud, spare up, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yea, they seek me daily. Now this is a time, 700 to 750 B.C., when the temple was built in Jerusalem, and the Jews have been worshiping in this temple. But it's all show, it's all put on, it's all foo-foo, it's all canned heat. And they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They asked of me ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching unto God. Wherefore, have we fasted, say they. Yeah, we fast. They make a big show out of fasting. Wherefore we fasted, and thou seest not. God's not answering their prayers. Wherefore, we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. They put on sackcloth and put dirt all on their head and made a big show of it and afflicted themselves and partied down all the rest of the time. And God takes no knowledge of it. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. Now, I think that that's very plain there. The days that they thought that they were putting on this big religious show, what they were really doing when the show was over is they were going over partying. They were finding pleasure. Pleasure. We all know about pleasure, don't we? And exact your laborers, and here the word actually is that they oppress their laborers. If minimum wage was $5.65 an hour, they paid them $3 an hour. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. That's not how it's going to be in the kingdom of God. It's not going to be like that. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Phony religion. God sees right through it, and we should too. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. That's what God would have us do. Help every soul that's bound up in wickedness. Wickedness binds you up. I hope you know that. I hope that you know. The more you play with sin, the more you become entangled to it. It's like a net, and the more you become entangled to it, and the more you become wrapped up in it, and the more you become trapped, wickedness does that to you. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. God has perfect deliverance for us. Pichak Korah, we studied that just a few weeks ago. How God has perfect deliverance for His people. To undo the heavy burden, God would have us lift every heavy burden from your soul. To help you to find this peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And to let the oppressed go free. All of those who are oppressed in their labors, to set them free from that. That you might break every yoke of bondage that people are held under. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bringest the poor that are cast out in thy house? Thou seest the naked, that thou should cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. And so it has been the policy of this church to take care of the poor since I began preaching here 9 years ago. 55% of our contribution last year went to the poor. We'll feed 400 meals today. 400 meals will go out here today. We will feed about 150 in the building. We'll feed about 150 bums and buggy people out the kitchen window. And we'll send 100 plates out of here to sick and shut-ins. We'll feed sandwiches all day, every day. All day, every day. You can come here and get a bologna sandwich and 2 pieces of bread. And that's all that we can afford. But we'll give you what you can afford. And do you know there's about 100 hungry people that come here every day for a bologna sandwich? Isn't that amazing? I wonder how many would go to all churches if they opened their doors as we have done. To all of the poor and the meek and the downtrodden and those that are cast out. There is a multitude of people out there. If we'll just pull the net in. Now it's your job. You're here today. And next Sunday, each one get one. Bring somebody with you. That's how we double the size of this church. Everyone gets one. That's how we do it. And I want to ask you to be back here next week. I promise to be feeling better, and you'll get a better sermon out of me next week. And so God says that if we'll conduct ourselves like this, if this is what we'll do, is it not to deal that bread to the hungry, that thou bringest the poor that are cast out into thy house, and thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. If we'll conduct ourselves like this, to break every yoke of bondage, to feed and take care of the hungry and the poor, then God gives us these promises beginning in verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven, Jesus said. After all, we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And God says that if you'll do this, if you'll practice taking care of the poor, loving the poor, taking care of the poor, then your light will break forth. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. And Larry pointed this out to me. I'm really thankful. I've read this verse I don't know how many times, and I read that reward, and that's not the word there. The Hebrew word is asaph. It means rearward, your backside. You know something? Jesus is watching my back. He's got my back. Jesus is watching my back. Every ghoul, every creeper in the world, it doesn't matter about that. Jesus has got my back. It's so good to know that. Now, what this really meant when the 12 tribes traveled in the wilderness, the tribes went forward and they were in squares, and they went forward four threes, and the last square was the rearward, and that was the last tribe, and God says, I've got your backside. Don't worry about Pharaoh coming to get you from back there. I've got your backside. That's what God's telling us. If we'll do and practice Christianity, God Himself will walk with us and have your backside. He'll look out for you. Now that means a whole lot when you from where I'm from. Then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shall I call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. Yes, our prayers will be heard if we'll do this. If thou wilt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, all of these things need to be put away from us. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as the noonday. God will turn all darkness into noon, into great sunshine for us. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and shall satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like the spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. This place here was about to turn waste. 40 people. 40 people, you can't hardly keep the lights on anymore. 40 people, you can't hardly pay the lights and the water and the gas and the insurance on this property. 40 people is barely a church here. They'll build the old waste places, and thou shalt rise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called to repair the breach, and restorers of the past to dwell in. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And please visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Great acapella singing and downloads there. Good acapella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. Last time, my brother Kenny McCarty from Grapevine's here, one of our deacons from Grapevine. We thank you for being here, brother. And please tell the brethren in Grapevine that there has been a revival at this place ever since y'all had that barbecue for us. And that we understand that you're having another barbecue for us next month, maybe. And so that revival, we're going to keep it going till y'all come back. And then you can help us jumpstart it again. We'll take it to the next level next year, okay? God bless you, brother. And we thank you, and we thank you for that meal. It was a fine meal. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
So our ministry here is dedicated to two things, the poor. And like I said last time Kenny was here, I mentioned that knowledge is to know it. Now see, we just read this chapter here from Isaiah 58. Now we know it. We know what God wants us to do. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is to do it. Knowledge is to know it. Wisdom is to do it. You can know thou shalt not steal, but it takes a wise man to practice that. I was stupid for many years. I thought the FBI is who said thou shalt not steal. I didn't realize it was God. You know, it's God that said that. And not only can't you steal from people, you can't steal from banks and stuff like that either. That's right. Thou shalt not steal. Knowledge is to know it. Wisdom is to do it and practice it. You can know to feed the poor, and you can turn up your nose to them. What wickedness that is for any person to think that they're better than another person. As I said, 55% of our contribution went last year to feeding the poor. We feed 400 meals here on Sunday. We feed sandwiches daily. We give out 3 van loads of bread and sweets and cakes back there to the sick and shut-ins and to the poor people here at the congregation. We take care of our widows and poor people here. And I want to charge the church that it is against the rules for you to give any money to individuals here. If anybody needs any money, they know to come and see me. And so if somebody asks you for money, you need to find out why I'm not doing my job. You need to bring them and bring them right to me and say, Kelly, why haven't you helped this person right here? Because they tell me that they're in need and you hadn't helped them. And so you let me do that, because if there's more, if the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing in taking care of the poor, we're going to have a lot of double dipping and a lot of panhandling around here, and that's not allowed because we're a poor church and we're not going to be worked that way. But we're going to take care of every poor soul that has a need. You know, feeding the poor is not the most important thing we do around here. The most important thing we do around here is we worship God. And there are 5 things that we're told to do in the worship of God. We're told to sing, preach, pray, take the Lord's Supper, and give of our blessings to the poor. And so that's why we have a contribution here. 5 things that are mentioned in the New Testament that has to do with the worship of the church. If anybody can find me anything else other than those 5 things in the Bible, I'll just eat the Bible without any salt and pepper. If you can find them. There are 5 things we're told to do in worship. To sing, to preach, to pray, to take the Lord's Supper, and give. Those are the things that make up the worship of the church. Now today, after worship, after we have had our closing prayer, our children are going to come up here and sing for us. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's not part of the worship service. But you don't co-mingle other things with the worship service. We do those 5 things that God tells us to do, and that makes worship. And let me tell you also, if you come here and you don't sing, you haven't worshiped. It doesn't matter how much money you put in the plate. If you come here and you don't take the Lord's Supper, no matter how much you sing, you haven't worshiped. Those are the 5 things we're told to do to worship. Every person must do it. So if you don't sing, just hum. It's all right, hum. It's okay. You'll learn to sing. But that's part of what the worship is. And singing makes you feel better. The spirit and singing go together. Read all them verses in the New Testament about singing. You'll be surprised how many times the spirit's mentioned in those verses too. So the most important thing that we do here is we worship God. Great Commission tells us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized should be saved, and he that believeth not should be damned. So we practice that here. We preach the gospel, and we don't have cool whip sermons. We get into detail about the study of the Bible, and that's what I think that God would have us do here. Might not be suited for other congregations, but it is here. Number one, it's self-weeding. If people are not for real, they won't come in here and put up with an hour of Bible study and an hour of singing and stuff. But if they are for real, they'll get strengthened, and we hope that you get strengthened from this. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the world. So this great commission is the commission that we have today. Paul says that the things that you've seen and learned of me, teach other faithful men, that they may teach others also. So this is our job, to teach and preach the Bible, to teach you so that you can teach a new generation after us. The neighborhood has changed. This used to be Pekin Eastside Church of Christ. Before that, it was Pekin Main Church of Christ back when my grandparents came here. Back in 1903, my grandparents came here on covered wagons and came to this church. My parents were married here in 1928. My grandfather was buried here in 1930. I was born here in 1944. Kenneth Scoggins was a schoolmate of mine and knew him well. But the demographics of this neighborhood has changed. This was all the old Ford Motor Company over here, and people were blue-collar, working folks that had all these little Cracker Jack houses over here in East Dallas, and there was a great economy in East Grand and the Ford Motor Company and all that. So Ford closed the Ford Motor Company here, and all of this neighborhood has changed. And of course, people, urban flight, they've moved off out to the suburbs and forgot all about where they came from. This church was the second or third church Dallas, we haven't made up our mind yet which to claim, but it's either the second or the third congregation in Dallas. And it's changed. The days of Pekin East Side are no more, Sister Perkins, I'm sorry to say. And I remember it and love it too. But there's a new neighborhood here and a new dragnet that's dragging in all kinds in here. And we're building for a new future at this church, and we want you to be a part of it. We have our radio program that goes out between 11 and 12 every Sunday, and we're working to transform this into a live show. It's hard to do, but we're working to transfer this into a live show. And you see, when you're live, you're open and you're vulnerable, and you're open for much criticism. So the more that we go live, the more criticism I'm sure that we'll get, because there'll be some problems with it. But you know something, brethren? This is real Christianity here. This is real, where the rubber meets the road, Christianity. This is where tears are shed, sins are washed away, people are forgiven and strengthened and given new hope. This is where drugs are thrown down. This is where thieves repent of their reprobate ways. This is where all manner of change takes place, where drunkards and all manner of people change their wicked ways and come to Christ. You ready, Larry? You ready? You're ready. I think you are this time. You wasn't ready last time. I think you're ready this time. I really do. I think you're ready. I really do. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. Be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads, a cappella singing, and fair to middling gospel preaching. Well, our radio broadcasts are going out to all of North Texas. There are over 7 million people in our broadcast area. We are having a huge response from that. We get over 100 requests a week for CDs. Over 100 requests a week. That cost us $100 a week in postage just to mail those CDs. Not just to make them, but to mail them. Just to mail them costs us $100 a week, costs $1 a piece to mail. Most of these are sick and shut-in members of the Lord's Church from everywhere, all kinds of little North and East Texas towns and everything do we hear from. We have police officers on duty that take their lunch just in order to pull over and listen to the Main Street Church of Christ. We have prisoners in prison that gather around radios in order to hear the Main Street Church of Christ. Our prison chaplain sends his apologies today. He had to go preach in prison. He would generally be here on this Sunday to give his report, his monthly report. Eddie has baptized 656 this year while he was resting, and now he's off doing some more today. So he'll be here next week, and he'll give us our jail and prison report. Our radio broadcast goes out at 11 to 12 every Sunday morning, and between 9 and 10 Sunday night, it's repeated. You have no idea the people that we meet. We have got truckers going through on the way to the Great Lakes that's called and said, please put me on the CD list where I can get CDs. I travel over the road. From McAllen, we have taught and baptized people. All over, we have taught and baptized people. In Fort Worth, a little lady called from the nursing home, and she said, I need somebody to come over here and baptize me. I've never been baptized. So I called the Southside Church, told the preacher. So the next week, the little lady called back. She said, he came over here, but I was gone seeing the doctor, and he baptized my roommate. He got the wrong one. And send him back over here, because I want to be baptized. And so I called a preacher over, and I said, hey, you went to sleep at the switch here. You got another over to do. Get over and get that one. So we encourage people not to come here to the Main Street Church of Christ in the middle of the inner city. God knows we can use all the missionaries we can get, but visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. That's what we are. We're all members of this one universal body called the Kingdom of God and the Church of Christ. And so we encourage you to tell somebody about these radio broadcasts, tell somebody about the internet service. We have advanced Bible studies and sermons that disciple and baptize people. A lot of people preach sermons. A lot of people get up and talk. There's a whole lot of foo-foo, coo-whip preaching today. You know, it's just like you go to White's and you get something to eat and you don't eat nothing but coo-whip. you come out of there. It's not very filling. We want to give you something that sticks to your bones. It's not going to be a psychology or sociology sermon. We promise you a chapter of the Bible every week. Our internet ministry is an enormous, wonderful success. We had 100,000 hits last year and didn't know it. Can you imagine that? Didn't know it. We're going to have 250,000 hits this year. This year. They are downloading enormous amounts of sermons on this internet. On the internet, our internet provider, the server, made a mistake the first day of this month. And they left it on after midnight. See, the 31st ended at midnight. And they left it on. I first thought it was 1 hour, but it's really 5 hours till 5 in the morning. During those 5 hours, 11 sermons were listened to while I was asleep. While we slept, 11 people listened to those sermons. And guess what? They listened to the whole sermon. We can prove it by how many kilobytes, kbytes that they downloaded. We know how many kbytes is in a sermon, and they downloaded the full sermon. It's an amazing thing. While we slept, this happened. We're going to improve this website even more and more this year, and I want to thank the Lord for Stephanie, who's helped get that internet really working, and things are really going well. We have a school of evangelism and service here. We have two old houses, and we put together a school of evangelism and service. Manuel has gone off. He's one of our finest students. We set him apart as an evangelist, and now he is now a missionary in the U.S. Army in Iraq. And he went for his train-up before going to Iraq, and the chaplain didn't show up twice, and he went and preached both times, took his place. And I'm sure that Manuel will do that a whole lot over in Iraq, too. And so there'll be many taught in Iraq by Manuel. Walter is graduated and going back down to his little hometown down there in South Texas. Larry McClendon is on his third college course, and he helps drive the van. Richard is on his introductory college courses, and he's the handyman around here, the janitor and everything else around here. Larry Richards is on his first college course. And we're going to set him apart as an evangelist and 12-step counselor, associate song leader next week, the Lord willing. And so we have wonderful things happening to where you won't be confused and think that we're rich. In these two little houses, three of those students receive Social Security checks, and they pay the church a nominal amount to stay there, and that pays the lights and the water and the gas on the houses, so the houses don't cost us anything. That's the way it has to be, because we're so broke. We can't afford to pay the lights, water, and the gas on two houses. We can't afford that. But God has worked it out where all of this is working, and I want you to notice that it's not me doing this. It's all of you doing this. If you don't have a job here, you come and see me, because I've got a job for you here. We need to put you to work. We need you here. You can make a difference here. This is the Main Street Church of Christ, and it is a church made up of the people. See, that's what the word church means. Church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. Ek means out. Ecclesia means called. We swap that in English and we say the called out. We're called out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's who we are. Now that you're in the kingdom of God, you're to become the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You now are the church. It's not a building. You people are the church. So we have made great progress. We want to thank the Lord for all this progress. We have asked a trust organization to please help us with the sound system here. Our sound system is old and antiquated and really in bad shape. We've asked a trust organization to please help us with that, and to also help us with PowerPoints so that we can put PowerPoints up here on the board, and I can put the scriptures up there that we're reading and the songs that we're singing, and all that can go up there. And we might even have a few pictures of things from archaeology and things of that nature for you. And so y'all pray about this, and we hope that that trust will be able to help us. But if they don't help us, we're going to go on anyway. We're doing just fine. Everything's all right. And I want you to know that those of you that have a job, Lord, you could send me a few more that's got jobs. Those of you that have a job and put a little something in the offering plate, I want to thank you because it's really you that makes this possible. This work couldn't go on. There isn't but about 25 of y'all that's got jobs. Everybody else is on fixed income around here. So you 20, 25, or 30 of you that are able to give something here, y'all are what keeps this place going because, let's face it, we have a lot of friends. We really do. The brethren at White Rock and the brethren at Grapevine and Walnut Hill and Webb Chapel, and we've got a lot of friends and a few individuals, but it's really us and Jesus. That's who it is. And Jesus has got our rearward. He's got our backside in this deal. And we just need to continue charging on and preaching the gospel, taking care of the poor, and God will continue to bless us and we'll bear more fruit, more and more fruit. Fruit is made up of two things. Christian character, becoming better Christians, Christian character, and souls. Those two things make up fruit. And we want to have both those kinds of fruit. We want to do better, want to practice life better, be better Christians each and every day, grow in the knowledge of the Lord, become more Christ-like every day. That's Christian fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and temperance. Temperance means you're drinking less. Temperance means that you're drinking less. Temperance means that you're getting your wickedness under control. That's what it means, that you're controlling yourself. You're not children anymore. It's time to grow up. Really is. This is serious business. This is eternal stuff here. And I'm telling you right now, none of you going to live forever. And I'm on my last leg, and I know it. Beyond any doubt, I know I'm on my last leg. So I want to ask y'all to help. Let's bear souls. Let's bring forth souls to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered together all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now on that day, you want to be part of the sheep, not part of the goats, right? Be part of the sheep, not part of the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. This kingdom was prepared before the foundation of the earth. This kingdom of God was God's plan all along. It was in the mind of God before He ever said, Let there be light. He understood how He was going to do it, that He was going to create Adam and Eve, that they were going to sin, and He'd have to send Jesus to come and die for all sinners. And He knew that at the end of time, He'd send Christ back. And this kingdom of God was prepared from before the foundation of the world. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. They practiced it, didn't they? They knew it. Knowledge is to know it. Wisdom to do it. These people practiced it. This is not what you're to do to be saved. This is the attributes of those who are saved. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Thank you, Eddie, for going to prison. Then shall the righteous answer to him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we want. We won't read about those on the left hand. That's too bad to even think about. Oh, my heart breaks for every one of the sinners that won't turn, that are so wicked and so tied up in their ways that they won't turn back to Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a historical event in which the God of the universe took on flesh and blood, lived a perfect sinless life, came and was murdered, died and was buried, and rose again the third day, and He has perfect righteousness, and He will reckon and count that perfect righteousness to each and every one of you today if you'll be a part of this gospel of Christ and be in Christ. The Bible teaches that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, there's no reason for you to be lost. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on his name. The Bible teaches we need to confess Christ as Lord. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible talks about repenting for the times of ignorance, this ignorance, the ignorance of this world. For the times of this ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches we need to be baptized into Christ to have our sins washed away. In Acts chapter 22, Ananias asked Paul, "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We'd encourage you this morning, if you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church, the prayers of the church, you got sin in your life, you're ready to become a Christian, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Amazing grace.
Fill me a car. Cart there, sister.
Okay.
Just hold on. Just sit down right here. Arthur, I am really concerned about you, man. You have done everything that I've told you that you did. Had you? You really have? You know, I told you that, you know, you had to have a woman. I told you to get out of that house. You couldn't have no woman that's in the church house. So what happened? You get yourself an apartment, the woman leaves first day, don't you? Oh, no, Tim. Had to buy yourself a car. I told you you'd get the car. I told you was going to get a walk-to-work car, didn't it? That's what it's turned into, hasn't it? Walk-to-work car. And God's given you a check. He's blessed you. You get a government check. It can be the worst thing that ever happened to you. You're destroying your life. You know, I told you 2 weeks ago, not only you got a problem with Christian, but you're not even a good gangster. You need to straighten this out, brother. You can't be double-minded and go to heaven. You got to be single-minded. I want you to think about your sins. You're real close, man, to getting yourself banned from around here. I don't want that. I love your mama. I love you. But you just can't do that. You can't be double-minded. You got to be single-minded and serve God, or you're going to be lost, bro.
Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who heareth say, "Come." And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. This is a free gift. Come to the fountain free as we continue to sing. We need to fill our card.
You're right, sister. I'm sorry about your mama passing. You know, I know that you and your husband was baptized in a Christian church, a conservative Christian church. I want y'all to think about coming and being a part of the Main Street Church of Christ and going to heaven with us. I want y'all to think about it, okay? I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you in earnest, all right? And, you know, Jesus said, "My Father's house many mansions. I want you in the same mansion with us." Okay? God bless you, brother.
One more time. We've got a lot of people coming this morning that need help. One more time. Sing one more verse.
What's your name, brother?
Willie Evans.
Are you a Christian, Willie? You come for prayer? Okay. Hold on that card right there. Okay. God bless you, brother. Will you pray for me? I need prayer too. You pray for me, all right?
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Be seated, please.
Fred, you're a joy to me, brother.
How long have you been coming here?
About 3 years.
Down on your luck in the shelter.
God loves you. You know, you can't go nowhere but up, brother.
Absolutely.
You talk to Larry, he's a sheltered kind of guy. You know that? He's living a sheltered life. You're a real joy to me, brother. Turn face to church. You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
I do.
Now ready to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
I do.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Go in right over here and we'll baptize you straight away, brother. Let the church say amen.
Based on your confession of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sin.
Save Jesus.
Based on your confession of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.